Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, this week's episode is being sponsored by Craig and Michelle and Honoria in honor of their son, Kyle. Kyle was a wonderful boy who for 11 years brought us much joy, love, and laughter. We lost Kyle suddenly, 1 month shy of his 12th birthday. Our 4,342 days with Kyle were not enough. His compassion knew no bounds and he loved others freely. If he saw a homeless person on the street, he would ask us to give them money or food. If another kid at school was being picked on, Kyle would defend them and get himself into trouble trying to stick up for them. Kyle also loved Godzilla and would have loved that two Godzilla movies were released this year. One of his hobbies was collecting Godzilla figures, of which he had almost 100. Kyle was creative, thoughtful, and compassionate. His presence and love are missed every day. Thank you, Craig and Michelle, for sponsoring today's podcast episode in honor of your son, Kyle. If you would like to sponsor an episode in honor of your child, I will tell you how to do that after I share my thoughts on today's topic. Now, last week, I talked about waiting for it not to hurt so much. This week, I want to talk about waiting to be with our child again. Those of you who have been with me for several years may remember a blog I wrote about when Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds passed away. If you don't know, Debbie Reynolds was a famous actress whose career spanned almost 70 years. You may be more familiar with her daughter, Carrie Fisher, who played the part of Princess Leia in the Star Wars series. When Carrie died in 2016, her 84-year-old mother, Debbie, passed away the very next day. Her son, Carrie's brother, believes that his mom died of a broken heart. The last words she spoke 15 minutes before having a severe stroke that claimed her life were, "I miss her so much. I want to be with Carrie." After my daughter, Becca, passed from this earth, I experienced the exact same desire. Something I even wrote in my journal was, "So kill me, God, do it now, please." And I think most of you have had the same feeling. For several days after Debbie's death, I saw many bereaved mothers writing things like, "Why did Debbie Reynolds get to die and I didn't? She's so lucky, she doesn't have to go through what the rest of us have to," or, "I still want to die, and it's been over 3 years since I lost my daughter." Many Facebook groups for grieving parents were posting about how the world finally gets to see that having a broken heart from the death of a child is a real thing. So what is one of the main differences between Debbie Reynolds and each one of us? Well, I'm going to put it very bluntly here. She got to die, and we didn't. But in joining Carrie, it meant she had to leave behind and miss out on the lives of those she loved who were still here. And I know that we don't care, and we tell ourselves that no one will really miss us that much, and there's nothing left for us to live for here. That means that you are believing the lies of the enemy. I was believing the lies of the enemy. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, God's Spirit, you have life in you, and you have a reason and a purpose for still being here, even though it doesn't seem like it. Now, don't let this make you feel guilty for feeling that way. We all do, like I said, the first few months and even years, some of us. Just be sure that you're not giving in to the hopelessness and lies that are bombarding your thoughts. And be sure that you try and do your best to speak God's truth to yourself. Things like, "God still has me here because there is more life for me to live. I will get out of this darkness with his help, and I will live a life of meaning and purpose again, and I won't give up until that happens." Whether you feel that's true for you or not, you need to speak these things over yourself and tell yourself these things until you begin to see those little glimmers of hope. I want to remind you, Matthew 19:26 says that what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. I wish God would just speak a command or wave his hand and make it all better, but it just doesn't happen that way here on earth. As much as I want him to, God has not brought a giant eraser and removed the pain of Becca's death, and obviously he's not honored my request to leave this earth to go be with her. Instead, he's teaching me how to walk through it, leaning on him and allowing him to carry me when I have no strength of my own. After all, isn't that what our Christian walk is supposed to be? It's not that God just does all these horrible things or allows all these horrible things so that we learn to, like, we're just some weak, wimpy people and we need God and it's his ego thing, but to get to the point where we know, like Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you can't live independent of me. And that's what we're learning, is that I cannot do this life independent of God. Since Becca died, so much of my Christian theology has been challenged and it's shifted. And it isn't because I'm twisting things around to confirm new thoughts and beliefs, but it's because I now have a new lens, which I feel like brings so much clarity to some of my old beliefs that I was taught, but I no longer see those as God's truth. They may have been man's truth or man's interpretation, but I'm seeing things differently now as God's truth. So many scriptures have new meaning to me now. Not the ones being quoted at me as Christian cliches. Well, some of them, but that's because it's the Holy Spirit bringing those verses to me, and the Spirit of God is breathing life into these scriptures when I'm being held in his arms in the depth of my darkness and my pain. Now, here is one of those scriptures. When reading Matthew 6, it says in verses 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, we all know that our children are our greatest treasure here on earth. So when they leave this earth and they head to their eternal home before we do, it's like a huge piece of our heart goes with them to heaven. Wow. It's no wonder we just want to be done here and go be with our child, because where your treasure, your child is, there your heart will be also. I remember almost a year to the day after Becca died, telling a friend that I felt guilty because I was more excited to get to heaven to see Becca than I was to see Jesus. And you know what her reply to me was? She said, "But Laura, you've made a deposit there." And it was shortly after that I read those verses in Matthew 6, which seemed to confirm what my friend shared, who is a pastor and the wife of a pastor. And it removed some of the guilt for me for feeling that way, that I was more excited about seeing Becca than seeing Jesus. So if you're in that place of wanting to be taken from this earth to be with your child who's no longer physically here, just know that Jesus himself told us that where our treasure is, our heart will be also. Now, it took me probably a good 7-8 years before I finally got to the point where I felt just as excited and thankful to see Jesus, who made it possible for me to see Becca again and be with her again. It took me a long time, years, before I felt just as excited to see Jesus as excited to see Becca. And I really think Jesus understands that, because he knew that our time here would not be enough. Even if we went first, our time with our kids, with our family, with those we love, would have been too short here. We want more time with them. And God made that possible through the gift of Jesus and what he did for us here on earth, being the sacrifice, a final sacrifice. He made that possible for us to be together again forever. And so I believe Jesus understands that deep love that we have for our family here on earth and very close friends. And I really believe I can just picture Jesus standing back while Becca and I just embrace each other and him being so just satisfied and just filled with love and being just joy of being able to reunite us and then allowing me to turn to him and thank him, however that's going to look like. Before Becca died, I wanted to live a very long and fulfilling life. After Becca died, for the first few years, I just wanted to be done here, and like I said, I would beg God to take me. It did not seem to matter that I had my wonderful and loving husband. I still had 4 children here. I had 2 grandchildren at that time. One of them was Becca's daughter, who was only 9 when her mom died. I still had all these people to live for, but I had myself convinced that no one really needed me, right? I wanted out of here. And the sooner, the better. As time went on and the intense pain began to be absorbed in a way that allowed me to somewhat function again, my greatest desire to just be done here began to subside as well. And now the way I feel is that I really don't care either way. I can stay or I can go. I actually have gotten to the point where I kind of want to be here because I want to be part of the lives of my grandchildren and I want to see them grow and I want to continue to see my children. I want to see my children become grandparents and I want to be a part of their lives. I've gotten to that point, but I really feel like I can go or I can stay. I do have a wonderful life now. I have 6 more grandchildren have been added since then. It's fulfilling to me now with the incredible blessing of walking with other grieving parents through GPS Hope as part of Becca's legacy and just the fulfillment it brings me to walk with you. But when I think about telling myself that no one really needs me here or would miss me, that means that I would not be here not just for my family, but I wouldn't be here for you right now. But like I said, I'm also ready to go when God decides it's my time, whenever that is. I'm like 99% sure that you will probably be like me and you will eventually get to the point where you have no feelings about it one way or the other. You may not think that's true, but I really believe that. And when it happens because you will have discovered that you do have a life to live that still has good things in it. There are people who want and need you in their lives. And maybe like me, they are people you don't even know yet. And you will want to be there for them when you get to that point. It might take a while, but you can look forward to when you do feel that way. I want to remind you, Jesus told us in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life. And I know you feel like all that's been stripped from you. The enemy did come in and steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus still has a purpose to give you a life of meaning and purpose that goes beyond this darkness that you're in right now. Here's another scripture that has helped me continue moving forward. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, this does not say that we are forgetting and leaving our children behind us. That's never going to happen. But I see this as an encouragement, as it says to press on toward the goal, which for me is learning how to live a full and meaningful life again here with the prize of the upward calling being eternity with him and with Becca and others I love who are patiently waiting for me to join them. at some point in those first few years, I made a conscious decision that as long as I'm still here, I refuse to let my daughter's death keep me from living. I refuse to live in a shell just waiting to die to go be with her. I have fought, and I will continue to fight to have a full life, enjoying my other children, enjoying my growing legacy of grandchildren, my marriage, and the calling on my life to embrace other grieving parents in their pain and be a light of hope in their darkness. After Becca passed from this earth, I experienced the exact same desire as most of you. I wanted to die and be done here. And this is where another change in perspective happened for me. Instead of continually thinking about how I wanted to die, I started to see that there were some good reasons to stay around here a while longer. I went even further and realized that I don't have to stay here and have to go on living. I get to live. Now, that's a huge shift in perspective. I want to share with you a few of the good reasons that I discovered we get to live here a bit longer. We get to live in a way that honors our child and keeps their memory alive. We get to join arms with other bereaved parents. I mean this with all my heart. They are some of the most incredible people on this earth. We get an exclusive front row seat to the depth of God's love for us as we realize that God Himself chose to suffer the death of His own Son in exchange for an intimate relationship with us. I mean, that's really something because we know the pain of the death of a child. And He did that willingly so that He could have an intimate relationship with us to break down the walls and the things that would separate us from Him, our guilt and our shame and all those things. We get the opportunity of knowing Christ in His sufferings at a depth that most disciples of Christ don't get to experience, which means that we also get to know Him in the fullness of His resurrection power in a greater way that most believers won't be able to experience. We get to know the depth of the reality that this world is truly not our home, and to live life with eternity in mind, more than being caught up and entangled with the things of this world. We get the joy of knowing that we have made a precious deposit in heaven and have one of our greatest earthly treasures there waiting to welcome us to our eternal home. Now, I admit that that last one may seem a bit far-fetched, but as I picture Becca in heaven and all the things that she is experiencing, including people she's met and she's talking to, I actually get excited to think that my daughter is someone who will be showing me around and introducing me to people. Something inside me just knows that the joy and the pride that she will have when I arrive will make all of this pain disappear. And it warms my heart and it actually puts a smile on my face when I really take time to think about this. Looking forward to what is still ahead is a huge comfort to me. It doesn't erase the pain of now, but over time, it helps to ease it for sure. And the longer I remain here, the more excited I get that I am getting closer and closer to that prize and to my daughter. As I found myself struggling so deeply with the horrific thought of getting further and further away from Becca, I would like have panic attacks where I couldn't breathe thinking those kinds of thoughts. So I asked God to help me by giving me His thoughts. And He so graciously showed me that the truth is actually something totally different from how I was seeing it. Now, here's another powerful shift of perspective if you've never heard me share this before. Every day I live on this earth brings me closer to my own departure date and closer to Becca, not further away from her. That truth set me free. Now, I still have moments when I have those thoughts. You know, how long it's been since I've seen her, hugged her, heard her laugh. They can still make me cry. I miss her like crazy. But I'm not overwhelmed by them now, because now I believe a truth that is deeper than the pain. I'm getting closer to her, not further away from her. And I hope that thought begins to break through your pain, bringing you the peace and comfort that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to you just as much as it does to me. Romans 8:25 says, "In our moments of impatience, let us remember that hope always means waiting for something that we haven't yet got. But if we hope for something we cannot see, then we must settle down to wait for it in patience." That's the Phillips translation, if you're wondering. Death is not the end. It is a door to the next life, and we don't know when that door is going to open for us. Joseph in the Bible was 17 years old when he was sold as an Egyptian slave. You probably know the story about the famine and how Joseph's brothers, you know, after they sold him off, they were the ones that sold him. They traveled to Egypt for food for their families, not knowing it was their brother Joseph, who was now second in command to Pharaoh himself, that they were bowing down to and begging for food. Now, there's a lot more to this story. It starts in Genesis 37 and it ends in chapter 44. But when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, they were told to bring Jacob, his dad, and all of their families to Egypt to wait out the famine. Now, based on the timeline given in the Bible, Joseph was probably about 41 years old when the brothers went back to get Jacob to take him to Egypt to reunite father and son. And that means that Jacob thought his son was dead for 24 years before he found out that was not true and was able to see and hug his son again. Some of us are going to have to wait a lot longer than 24 years to see and hug our child again. Barbara Bush, President Bush's wife, was 28 when her 3-year-old daughter Robin died in her arms of leukemia. Barbara did not get to be reunited with her daughter for 65 years. Some of us are not even going to have to wait 10 years or 5 years. We don't know. As I said at the beginning, Debbie Reynolds only had to wait one day to leave this earth after her daughter died. Even though we don't know how long our separation is going to be, we do know that when we get to see our children again, we are not going to have to be separated from them a second time like Jacob and Joseph were when Jacob died a few years later. And once we are reunited with all of eternity ahead of us, I am convinced it's going to seem like it was just a nanosecond that we were separated, no matter how many years it was here on earth. I want to wrap this up by sharing a popular poem by Linda Ellis called The Dash. It's about a man who spoke at a friend's funeral. He mentioned the two dates that will go on the tombstone, which are the birth date and the death dates, but then he went on to talk about that small dash, which represents the life lived between those two dates. And let me read it to you. This is called The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Isn't that something? I know we wish that the life that our children lived, represented by the dash, had much more time and many more events in it. But that's not what I want us to focus on today. I want to talk about our own dash. In this poem, several questions are asked that I think are good for us to think about in our own lives. Now, at this point, I don't think we have to ask ourselves if we're putting things ahead of people, because worldly possessions have already taken a back seat to what's truly important in life. So that's not much of an issue for most of us after the death of our child. But we can ask ourselves, are we treating others well? Are we showing appreciation more often? Are we loving those around us more deeply, knowing how fleeting life can be? Or are we so withdrawn in our own pain that we don't even hardly acknowledge the people around us that we do still love deeply, even though we may not feel it because the pain is overtaking it? But are we showing them appreciation and showing them and telling them that we love them? Are we treating others with more respect and compassion? Are you doing what you can to make the lives of those around you better? Just a little bit, a tiny thing. Even occasionally, like maybe giving a smile to those around you who may need such a simple thing to keep going themselves. What will your eulogy say as to how you lived out your dash? I know our lives have a before and after. But would you be pleased what's said about you? How about your son or daughter who's waiting for you to be able to proudly say, that's my mom or that's my dad? I think that is something to not only think about, but to aim for. When you begin to realize that it is possible to be able to live beyond the death of your child, you have a choice to make. Am I going to live out my life in a way of hopelessness and despair that honors the death of my child? Or am I going to find a way to rise above this darkness and live my life in a way that honors the life of my child? I hope you can see that choosing to remain in a place of darkness and bitterness, which keeps us from living out our own lives, will not serve the purpose of honoring the life your child was given, no matter how short his or her life may have been. Yes, we can choose hope and light and life and then slip back into the darkness. I've done it many times, but when that hope comes to you once again, grab it like a rope and let it pull you out of the dark pit. And while you're waiting to be with your child again, don't just live in a shell waiting to die. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life as many times as it takes until your life has meaning and purpose again while you wait. I want to remind you of the Weekend of Hope we are having for you the first weekend in August here in our own stomping grounds of Wisconsin. This will be a special time for bereaved parents to come together, to be ministered to meet me face to face, spend time with Dave and myself, and share our children with each other. Dr. Doug and BJ Jensen, who are precious friends of ours, they're bereavers, and they have experienced the suffocating darkness of child loss, will be joining us with their wonderful talents of drama and using American Sign Language as choreography to bring a measure of healing to our wounded souls. The weekend will culminate on Saturday evening with our big Celebration of Hope, which is a special dinner celebrating GPS Hope's 10th anniversary. If you are coming from a longer distance and you want to spend more than just a weekend with Dave and myself, we have things planned to do as a group, whoever's here, each evening starting Monday, July 29th. You can check all of that out, you know, what I have planned for each evening, along with the tentative schedule of the weekend at gpshope.org/weekendofhope. There's also a place on that page to register for the weekend, which includes the Celebration of Hope dinner, and I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Jessie Wilfong was born on May 26th, and she is forever 20. Ian Martin was born on May 26th and is forever 43. Andrew LaPlante was born on May 27th and is forever 24. Jacob Campbell was born on May 27th and is forever 32. Nathan Lee was born on May 28th and is forever 20. Elena Lisboa was born on May 29th and is forever 7 weeks old. Kyle Enenoria was born on May 30th and is forever 11. Mark Marky Schweitzer was born on May 30th and is forever 29. We celebrate the day these children came into the world with their families. We know it will always be an important and special day. If you would like to have your child's birthday added to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. You'll get a form there, fill in all the information, hit submit, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. I want to say thank you again to Michelle and Craig for sponsoring today's podcast episode in honor of your son, Kyle. Now, I'm going to take a minute and be very raw and real and honest with you as my faithful listeners. Most of you know that Dave and I lived full-time in a motorhome for 5 years. We lovingly called the Hope Mobile, traveling the nation for this ministry, GPS Hope, Grieving Parents Sharing Hope. And last summer, we felt led by God to stay put in Wisconsin because of some pretty serious and major issues that our adult children and grandchildren were dealing with, and we just needed to be here to support them. And this meant getting an apartment, since the campground we have a permanent site in closes down for the winter. They turn off the water and the electricity, and that meant I had to get a job to cover the expenses of having an apartment. And let me just say, Dave getting a job at this point is not an option for several reasons I'm just not going to go into right now. Now, I have done my best for the last year to keep GPS Hope going full speed ahead, as well as working a full-time job, continuing to write and publish books, along being there for my family when needed. And to be honest, I'm just plain getting weary. Carrying a full-time job and a full-time ministry is a pretty heavy load, especially when the ministry is being there for extremely shattered and deeply hurting people after the death of their child. This past week, I didn't even realize until Friday that I didn't get out the weekly Word of Hope email that comes out each Wednesday. Now, why am I telling you this? It's not because I want you to feel sorry for me. It's because you might be able to help ease my load. I really don't want to work a full-time job for income. I would much rather our income come from the books that I write, from people buying them, and from financial support coming from those who are being helped by this ministry. Now, here's where you come in. Sponsoring a podcast episode, I told you I would tell you how to do that. It's $50, and it would really help us out. And it would also be a way for others to know about your child for many years to come, because new listeners go through the archives and they listen to old episodes. If you want to sponsor a podcast episode, just go to gpshope.org, go to the Donate tab, and underneath that, you will find a place you can click to sponsor an episode. Another way you can help out is sharing this podcast with other bereavers so they can receive the same hope you're getting, and maybe they'll sponsor an episode for their child at some point. You can purchase some of the books I've written. Tell others about the books and encourage them to purchase the books. Make sure you give a rating and a review of the books that you have to let others know why they should get one of the books that's helped you. Another way is to support GPS Hope on a monthly basis. $10 a month, $20, $30, $50, or maybe more if your budget allows. Each commitment of monthly support adds up. And being able to draw a small salary for the work I do for GPS Hope and the thousands of bereavers we touch means that I would not have to work a full-time retail job. I could go back to concentrating on providing more support and resources for you and for those who are about to be thrown into this unwanted journey, who will be looking for hope and help. If you want to sponsor a podcast episode or become a monthly partner with us of any amount, just go to gpshope.org and go to the donate tab. It's on the top right hand, and click on that and you'll find where to go, either to sponsor a podcast or to make a donation. And like I said, this isn't normal for me to do this. And I know a good business practice, good charitable organization practice is not to put out this kind of a plea. But if you don't know what's going on, then you don't know that you can help, right? So I'm just putting this out there. If God lays it on your heart, then please follow through. I'm just letting you know that there is a need here. I want to thank you for connecting with us as a bereaver and allowing me to walk this journey with you. And I also want to thank you for just considering becoming a grieving parent sharing hope yourself by helping us continue keeping GPS Hope going. I want to close by going back to asking ourselves, how am I living my dash? Am I fighting my way out of the darkness back to a place of light and hope and purpose again in a way that honors my child and honors the one who created my child and me? These are not just significant dates for our children, but someday they will be for us as well, to those we leave behind. Let's do our best to make sure that our dash matters, not just before the death of our child, but after their death as well. I want the full dash to count for Becca, for me, for the rest of my family while I wait to be with her again. How about you? Waiting to be with our child again can be extremely difficult, but you can do it with peace and have a life of meaning and purpose again while you wait. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.